Hi, this is Julie.
This is Liz.
This is Sheila.
This is Monica.
This is Leanne.
We are the Satellite Sisters.
You are listening to Satellite Sisters to Go.
We are the Satellite Sisters. Welcome to the show. It is Sunday, October 5th. I'm Liz Dolan. I am in Santa Monica, California. Our sister Monica said she couldn't join today because the weather was so good in the Pacific Northwest. It was so excellent for in October, that she just had to be outside. So I'm sure we can all appreciate what that is like. Leanne Dolan, you're joining us from Pasadena, California.
Yes, I am.
Current temp there. I know you've reached your boiling point.
I have. I'm starting to understand the grapes of wrath. I mean, honestly, it's like a freaking dust bowl here. I'm so tired of it.
Okay, we got the drought. We got the heat. Sheila Dolan, yeah. Is that any different in South Pasadena than Pasadena?
No, it's the same heat, Liz. But, you know, I am staying cool by doing a lot of swimming these days. I'm just staying submerged.
Okay, and Julie Dolan, I don't want to be flip about this, but joining us from the Ebola capital of the United States of America, you are, as always, on the front lines in Dallas, Texas.
That's right. Here it is, ground zero, Liz. Very serious conditions going on in Dallas.
Yeah. So Leanne, you doing anything to stay cool?
Well, I know we have a lot happening today. Everybody in America went to see Gone Girl, including 3 out of 4 Satellite Sisters. So we're going to talk about that. I finally went to see The Fault in Our Stars.
Oh, good.
Sheila has a Rite Aid report. Julie has some fast facts about the Nobel Prizes. But first, Liz, I have to say, I spotted Sheila coming out of the pool today.
Oh. And
I was at the Rose Bowl Aquatic Center with Sheila, but she didn't know it. I was participating in the Aqua Zumba class.
Oh, that sounds good.
That is, without a doubt, the stupidest athletic thing I've ever participated in. I don't even understand it. I like Zumba and I like Aqua, but those two things do not match. You know, the whole point of Zumba is that it's like fast footwork. You're going left, you're going right, you're going left. It's not complicated. It's just fast. Well, you know what you can't do in a pool? Go fast, left, and right.
Can you shake your booty in the pool, Leanne? Because that's another key feature.
I know. You don't really have the traction, Julie, because you're in a pool. Like, I thought they would make some attempt to adapt the Zumba to the aquatic setting. But no, they just went straight forward with the same stuff. I lasted about 17 minutes, and then I went rogue. I just started doing my own thing, and then I left.
Well, they can't really see what you're doing, right, because you're underwater. So.
That's beauty, Liz, right. But that's also the point. Like, the teacher can't see that no one in the class can execute the moves that she's doing because she's on land and we're in the water.
She is Brazilian. There you go.
Yeah.
Did you actually get to see Sheila in her 2 bathing suits and 2 bathing caps?
Liz, she's unmistakable because I was like spacing out in Zumba. Yeah. And there I see the shrouded form of Sheila Dolan emerge from the fall. She has so many layers on. I mean, most of the swimmers there barely have swimsuits on, you know?
That is true.
It is. It's like they're wearing like the smallest swimsuit they can possibly find and a cap, but not Sheila. She has like the 2 swimsuits, the swim shirt, the cap, the goggles, and then like the Edna Dolan towel wrapped around her.
I do the mom towel at the end.
I do. Shuffling towards the locker room. I just laughed out loud.
I did a lot of butterfly today with all those layers on, Leanne.
It's good for you, Sheila, because that is a sensible sport. But aqua Zumba, I don't understand. That's all.
Wow.
Okay, good report. Sheila sighting. Unexpected Sheila sighting. All right, well, we do have to start with the biggest news story of the week, maybe of the year, and that would be Ebola. Julie, when this news started to break, I was traveling for work, and it just seemed like another Ebola story. And then I realized, no, it was Ebola in the United States, so I paid a little bit more attention. And then I realized, oh, my God, it's Ebola in Dallas, Texas. So there you are.
Right. I know. This is This is a very local story for me. Okay, first of all my doctors are at Presbyterian Hospital. Okay, that same where the patient, Duncan, is. This is where I see my doctors.
I dismissed the threat immediately when I was talking to Leon on the phone. Yeah. I was like, I saw the front door to that hospital. I saw the name of that hospital. That doesn't look like a place Julie would go.
No, it's a very, and in fact, my grandchildren's pediatrician, he works right across the street from Presby, as we all call it here in Dallas. Okay, there was some merger last year, and they changed it to Texas Health Center Presbyterian, but it just used to be Presby Hospital. And yes, indeed. So that part of the story, yes, I know this hospital. I have been to this emergency room, and then secondly. The apartment complex, the Ivy Apartments, where the patient was, I know this area well, too, because, sisters, for many years I have taught English as a second language, and the neighborhood where this apartment is called the Vickery Meadows neighborhood, and this is where I did my training for English as a second language, because this is an area where at least 50% of the people that live in these apartment complexes are foreign-born. So you have you have clusters of immigrants from Somalia, from Kenya, Sudanese, Burmese. Is someone?
Is that you? Is somebody unwrapping a piece of candy?
No, that's me.
We know it's you.
I'm sitting down and getting comfy. I'm listening.
Okay. Oh, good to do that 6 minutes into the show.
You are not listening at all. And you should pay attention, Sheila, okay?
Julie, I am scared already. I'm
okay.
Scared.
Okay.
That's why she had to change positions.
Okay,
Julie, right. So this is where you did your training for your tutoring.
For tutoring, I know this area, so... It is, it's just unfolded this week in such an incredible way. And I know there's been a lot of criticism of the hospital and of the emergency room and all the things that went wrong. I mean, number one, that they failed to spot this case, when it came through the door. I don't know. I was upset when they seemed to be blaming it on the nurse at the beginning when the news first broke, because that seemed unfair. But you have to realize that this hospital coming in that emergency room, there would be a lot of people from Africa coming to that emergency room. I didn't realize this, but there are 10,000 Liberians living in northern Texas. I mean, who knew that? I mean, that's...
Right. I was surprised to read that, too. That's amazing.
Yeah, so the idea that somebody, who had visited Africa came in with a fever probably is not that unusual at that emergency room. Now, I mean, did things break down? Yes. And was there unnecessary exposure to others? Yes. I mean, do you realize that they didn't even tell the ambulance service that took this patient? Now, we all know the sort of sequence of events. He went to the emergency room, was sent home with antibiotics, and then went back to the emergency room via ambulance when he was, when his symptoms got much worse. They didn't even, tell the ambulance emergency workers that this patient had Ebola initially.
Really?
So they were picking up other patients. Ambulance before they quarantined it. I mean, so that was a big delay. There was a delay even when he came back into the emergency room to get and they wanted to do the blood test for Ebola. That took a whole 24 hours to get done.
What?
There's a lot of things that, all this week we've seen lots of experts and people from the CDC talking about our protocols and our protocols on top of protocols underneath infrastructure and that this could never happen. And you realize that even in a, very good hospital, things could happen. Mistakes could be made and that, we do have a case of Ebola. This person certainly has exposed other people to Ebola, And, you know, unfortunately, this morning, the report from the hospital is that his condition has been downgraded to critical. So he is in very serious conditions there. And I think everyone that was exposed is now kind of waiting to see what happens. But, you know, it even got more complicated, as I'm sure you saw in the news, that they didn't even clean that apartment for 5 days.
Oh, yeah, that was terrible.
But, and you say, yes, that was terrible. Well, part of the problem was that they couldn't find a cleaning service that was willing to do it.
Right.
And then even when they found the cleaning service that would do it, they had to get all these special permits to take all of that waste out of the apartment and now get other special permits to dispose of that waste.
Right, right.
I guess I just always assumed that the CDC itself has the power to do all of that. Like, the CDC just sends in their own SWAT team and they take care of the scene. But no,
but
they have to find independent vendors to do this stuff.
Yeah. And you know, part of the problem was they could not find, you know, for the family members of this patient who have been staying in that apartment, who were then put under court order because they were trying to leave the apartment and didn't want to, you know, obey the regulations of the CDC. So they were under county order to stay in their apartment. They had no place to go.
Mm-hmm.
They had tried to relocate them to multiple housing complexes and apartments, and no one would take this family. And so that it was reported in the paper that it was someone, it was as the Dallas Morning News reported, it was somebody from the faith community. I don't know what that exactly means, but donated a house in a gated community that has not been disclosed for this family to move into. So,
right. Imagine if a relative of yours had Ebola and now he's in the hospital dying, and then you're told that you're not allowed to leave the place that you know is 100% contaminated with Ebola. That's like the county giving you a death sentence.
Right, right. I know. I think they, you know, the family has been very upset. They reported this morning that they are, or complained this morning that they are not receiving medical updates about the patient. But then it goes on because, again, it's all this, you know, we have protocols and we have infrastructures. But then when when everyone realized that school children were involved, and you know how many, there are now like 7 different schools that are impacted by this, that there is a person, you know, a child at that school who had some kind of contact, indirect, whatever, with the patient. And for all those kids that are attending the schools, they weren't even saying which student it was. So you could not eliminate the worry. You know, Sheila, if you knew it was like a third grader in Miss Ledbetter's class, mm-hmm. then, and you were teaching in the sixth grade, you might not worry about it, or you might be able to allay some of your fears. But they weren't able to disclose any of that information.
Hmm.
And then adding to this, the other big issue is that so many of the people in the impacted area, at the schools, in this apartment complex, they speak so many different languages that they had to put the bulletin out in English and Spanish and Vietnamese and Arabic and Burmese and Swahili and Hindi and Thai, you know, and I mean, it just really exposed, you know, that this protocol infrastructure that we think we have, you know, with the best medical care in the world, we got some holes in it. That's for sure, you know.
Yeah. So what's your personal protocol? Have you changed anything at all in the way you operate around town?
They say that you're supposed to just wash your hands a lot. So I guess I've been washing my hands a lot. I mean, I don't know if I'd want to go. I mean, I don't have a scheduled doctor's appointment.
Yeah. Right.
I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that. I mean, it's not like my doctor has contacted me and said, oh, you know, I know you're a patient. You don't need to worry. No, I haven't received any communication from the 2 or 3 doctors that I use out of Presbyterian Hospital. So I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if they've been told to say something or not, you know.
Well, I'm sure they don't want to panic people. You can understand that. I mean, not everyone is at risk.
Right.
But exactly. It is that I was watching the CDC press conference this morning, you know, because they were on live answering questions from journalists. And a lot of the questions, as you say, they could not answer them because of issues of patient confidentiality.
Right.
So they can't just start handing out names and conditions and who's being watched. So, you know, we have these laws to protect the privacy of the patients, but at the same time, everyone around the community obviously wants to know, like, who is at risk. That's a super challenging communications environment, never mind the actual medical challenge. Plus, I guess I also figured that once they got that guy into the hospital, they were going to be able to save him.
I did, too.
Yeah, because they have said they have brought in the best Ebola specialist in the world, who is, you know, not necessarily on staff. But he has, you know, this morning the report was that he has been downgraded to critical conditions. So
right.
It's very, so I don't know what I can do. I mean, you know, I mean, Liz, you travel so much.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
It was frustrating to me when they announced that the patient had traveled from Liberia, here, that they, you know, they, we didn't need to know the flights he was on. Well, yes, I kind of think we do need to know the flights he was on. And I don't see why the CDC couldn't release that information. I mean, because it would mean
that's how it spreads. That's how disease spread. We should.
But it would also mean 99% of the people could say, "Phew, that's not the flight I was on."
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly, Liz. And so it could eliminate a lot of concern. I think what you saw at a lot of these elementary and middle schools, Sheila, this week, where they had, you know, where, you know, people that were on the contact list, you know, had been taken out of those schools, was just that nobody was saying anything to the parents. They didn't know whether.
Right.
Whether to send their children to school or not. And, you know, the school district said they did a thorough cleaning of the school.
Oh, boy.
Okay, I don't buy that.
I know. So this is what I mean. I mean, or, you know, and that they were going to have the school nurses were going to do extra rounds. I mean, I don't know.
This is
not protecting us. I don't know, you know, but that's the thing. I don't know what you can do. Should you not go out in public? Should you, you know, I don't know, other than washing your hands, those are the only instructions we've been given. Now, I had no direct contact with this patient. I'm not in the contact zone. I understand all of that, but it still, you know, it still does give you a great concern.
Liz and Leanne here, and we are so grateful to have Osea support Satellite Sisters. Why? Because it's just a great product. Holy cow, do we love Osea's skin and body care. And you know what? This Mother's Day, just look no further than Osea. Spoil the moms in your life with the little luxuries from Osea. The moms, the stepmoms, the bonus moms, the people who bring a touch of something special to your life. Aunts, grandmothers, they would love a little Osea this Mother's Day. And you can get 10% off your first order by using our code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. And Liz, you know what every mother and mother figure needs?
What?
More moisture, Liz. They need more moisture in their skin.
I mean, really, the creams, the lotions, the oils, I love it all. That duo they have going.
Oh.
Like, you can't miss with the duo of Osea.
Liz, the Mega Moisture Duo,
yes.
you can literally see your skin get firmer, and it just delivers this full body glow. Okay, you know we have raved about the Undaria Algae Body Oil.
Mm-hmm.
Well, pair that with the Undaria Collagen Body Oil. Youthful, yeah. Liz, your youthful glow is going to happen. And it's infused with Osea's signature Undaria seaweed. So it just smells so delicious, doesn't it?
I know you're talking about giving it as a gift. I also suggest just giving it to yourself because you're worth it.
That's true. That is absolutely true. Okay, that moisture duo I mentioned too is a great value because you can save 16% plus the extra 10% with our code SADSISTERS. So this is it. This is a win-win-win Mother's Day gift. Spoil the moms in your life with clean vegan skincare and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with the code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. And you get free samples in every order and free shipping on orders over $60. OSEA is spelled O-S-E-A. So head on over to OSEAMalibu.com and use code SATSISTERS for 10% off. Thanks, OSEA. Liz, you know we love talking about Framebridge, don't we?
We do. because there are just so many fun things to frame, Leon, aren't there?
Right. Anything. You can just upload a digital photo from your phone and they can print it and frame it. And that is a gift right there, a gift people would love getting. But Liz, you recently had quite an exciting Framebridge experience. Would you like to share?
I talked about how when we were at the Bruce Springsteen concert, I was with our brother Dick, his wife Susan, his two kids, and one of the roadies threw us the set list at the end of the show, which was amazing to get the actual set list for the actual concert in Los Angeles. And we're like, oh, yeah, any day now, that's going to be in a place of honor in their home. Sure enough, Leon, they have already Framebridged it and sent it to us with a picture. So I'll be in Bend next week, so I'll get to see it. But it's just excellent use of the Framebridge resources, the Bruce Springsteen set list.
Fantastic. And this is gift giving season. So if you have a graduation coming up, a wedding, a shower, Mother's Day, Father's Day, look around. I'm sure you have something fun you can frame, and Framebridge can do it for you. It's easy and it's affordable to frame just about anything. You get fair and transparent upfront pricing based on the size of your item. There's a great selection of frames. And as we've said in the past, fast service, free shipping, great for gifts. Mm-hmm. And guess what? Liz, not many things in life give you a happiness guarantee, but Framebridge does. If you're not 100% happy with your piece, they will make it right. So if this
but
sounds like...
But you're going to be happy, okay? Yeah. That's just the Satellite Sisters promise. You're going to be out. You're going to be happy you did it.
See why Framebridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit framebridge.com or see a local Framebridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything, like a Bruce Springsteen set list. That's framebridge.com. Thanks, Framebridge.
I don't believe they're ever really going to be able to screen people who have been exposed off airplanes. How would you possibly do that? You know, right. If say you're in Liberia and you realize you've been exposed and you're concerned about getting sick, what do you want to do? You want to get the heck out of there, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, yes, it's wrong for that guy knowing he had been exposed to lie about it and get on a plane. That is wrong. But that's a normal human reaction in a lot of cases. And you really think the people, you know, you're changing planes at Heathrow, you're getting on in, you know, Freetown in the first place, those people are qualified to judge who has been exposed to Ebola and who hasn't? It's just... they're barely managing the hand luggage, you know?
Right.
They're like,
but when you say it like that, Liz, you're right. Yeah.
There's just no way.
Well, Julie, I know you're going to keep us posted on this. this is not a funny story, but I now treat my classroom like a hospital room. I have the kids Purell going in and going out. And
that's a good idea, Sheila. Even in an Ebola-free environment, that's probably a good idea with third graders.
And I have a two full soap stations at my classroom, so they soap and water twice a day as well, because you never know. And right. soap and water is the best thing you can do to protect yourself, Julie. So just wanted to add that. But in the meantime, I've been monitoring health matters closer to home, and I just want to give you girls a Rite Aid report. Now, a few weeks ago, I mentioned that the Rite Aid in my neighborhood went through a major facelift. So it became a discount drugstore. It was once a discount drugstore, and now it is a discount drugstore that sells red wine and nail polish. And I feel, I mean, this is very nostalgic for me, because I feel like this area of reporting, as in pharmacies and, you know, our beloved drug town from Santa Monica. I mean, I've spent many years investigating what happens to drugstores, really, what happens. And if you remember Drugtown in Santa Monica, I mean, that was a source of endless entertainment for me.
Yes.
That's why I went in there every day. Which cappuccino maker would they try out that day? They thought they were in competition with the booming Starbucks across the street. I mean, they sold medical equipment. But they thought if they could just get their cappuccino right, maybe they could compete.
Get some foot traffic with the cappuccino.
I mean, people
might come in for a cappuccino and buy a walker.
And we waited for the wind chime shipments to come in, didn't we, girls?
We did. You monitored those very closely.
I love the sun hats, Sheila. They had an excellent selection of sun hats.
And it just meant they would have to build a new glass case to put the wind chimes in the middle of the first aid aisle, all right? So, and who can forget the fax machine at Drugtown? Buried under thousands of invoices behind the bathroom in the back, right? Talk about Ebola. Did you ever see the dirt on those fax machine buttons? I mean, anyway.
Yeah. But in a way, when you look at it now, Drugtown was the leading edge of the move of all of these drugstores to sell everything plus drugs, right?
Well, I think... I love Drugtown, but I think it definitely jumped the shark when it started importing Romanian jeans.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So that, I mean, that was the time where I couldn't go in there anymore. So I moved to Pasadena. I have my drug, you know, my Rite Aid, which I go in pretty much every day. I'm a gold member, so I literally get 10% off of any item I buy there. So,
how do you become a gold member? You must really be loyal.
I am loyal. And, you know, Liam knows this Rite Aid, and it did have one thing going for it in the former store, which was the thrifty ice cream bar.
Yeah. Yes, where only old people went.
And I always enjoyed it because they had an employee that resembled, I mean, Quasimodo, as the only way I can describe him, would be in charge of the thrifty ice cream. Okay, so the other night I'm at Rite Aid. I just want to go in. I mean, 10% off of any item. I ended up buying a windshield wiper, a giant bottle of windshield wiper fluid. For $1.99, I get 10% off. Anyway, they're stocking more red wine, and they have the nail polish emporium, taking up pretty much one entire half of the store. But something new has come to Rite Aid, and I just want to let you know, and I'm going to be on top of this story. At Rite Aid, at about 9 o'clock in the evening, on a Thursday night, they had, yes indeed, in the nail polish bar, a makeup artist.
Really?
True for you, Sheila. Dream come true.
They had a makeup artist in the nail polish bar. So this is my prediction, and I will be following this story. I believe Rite Aid believe they are maybe a late night hangout in Pasadena where you could come get some red wine, right? Pick up some nail polish, get a little thrifty, get some ice cream, get a makeover, and go out on the town.
Hit the clubs.
I mean, this is explosive. What's happening? In South Pass. So I just wanted to keep you abreast of this. Makeup artist on a Thursday night at the Rite Aid. And she did not look like she had any training, you know?
A former pharmacist?
Right. No, but I've been busy this weekend. I'm still celebrating my birthday. And Liz, I got a call from Liz. I mean, this is the first time entertaining Sheila has been at an open... in a long time, I decided to go on an opening weekend to a big major film. Liz invited me to go see Gone Girl yesterday.
Yes. Wow.
I mean, of course, nobody in America needed an invitation. It was playing at 10,000 theaters. But I did say, let's get together and go see Gone Girl together.
And Liz, I mean, she's excellent. Of course, she's probably, you know, she's halfway across the world. And she books her tickets online for her favorite row, which is H, right, Liz?
Row H. Yeah. Row H. Because row H is the one with the bar in front of it so you can put your feet up.
So, right. Mm-hmm. So we met at the theater. And I mean, it was going to be a great, you know, girls' day out.
You arrived with my birthday present. Thank you very much.
Yes.
I appreciated the, there's a topper
and
more loungewear. Apparently everyone believes I need loungewear. So another nice selection of extremely slouchy, loungy clothes, which I am going to enjoy for sure.
Right. So we got there and I guess I don't know about you, Liz, but when the female usher with the burgundy shirt came out to announce the film, and we heard the piercing tenor of her voice, I thought to myself, this may not be so fun, right? I mean, did that thought cross your mind that her presence might have been sort of a, you know, a premonition
somehow?
Yes.
That did not dawn on me at the time. I was, however, very happy when she stopped talking because she had a nails on a chalkboard voice. And they're
you
the
know,
ones...
You need to explain this for people who don't live in Los Angeles. I don't know if this happens in other parts of the country, but at many fancier movie theaters or just in general here in L.A., someone comes and actually introduces the movie to you.
That's correct. So, and they tell you what the running time is. They tell you where to validate your parking as you're leaving. They tell you if you have any issues during the movie. Anyone in a burgundy shirt can help you. Just come outside, whether it's the temperature of the theater or anything wrong with the actual screening. They do a little welcome and intro.
Right. And you just want to say, turn down the sound of your voice. Just turn it down. Okay. So the movie starts. I mean, you know, I read the book. Everyone here has read the book. I mean, it's David Fincher, by the way. David Fincher is the director. And what I have to say about him is I love all of his movies. I believe Panic Room, starring Jodie Foster, is one of the strongest endorsements for doing yoga that I've ever seen in my life, because I don't know if you remember, Jodie Foster was pregnant during that movie, and she spent the entire movie running from room to room, you know, in a scary, I mean, she was sliding, she was jumping, she was running, and her body looked fantastic, right?
Yes.
I never saw that movie, but okay, good to know.
That's quite a critique, Sheila. Yes.
So we're sitting there, Liz, and why don't you explain what happened next?
Well, so I would guess we're like 15 minutes into the movie. And so, you know, the thing about Gone Girl, if you read the book, and the movie is the same way, is this: the action moves very quickly. And you're getting lots of differing points of view on things. It's sort of a he said, she said story. Things are starting to build. Things are kind of not making sense. You realize something is going wrong, but you don't quite know what. And so the first, you know, all of this setup, all of this sort of, you know, structure of the story has to happen in the first 15 minutes. And there are a lot of cop cars running around with lights and sirens on. So during one of these lights and sirens scenes, all of a sudden, lights and sirens went off in our movie theater. White flashing light.
Unbelievable.
And then this announcement saying, there is an emergency event. Please exit the theater immediately. Please move quickly to your closest exit and go outside. So, right. So it was one of those moments where at first you think it's action in the movie when the lights first start going off. And then we all got up and filed out, but it's a little bit scary because you start to think about bad things that have happened in movie theaters, or this is a big movie complex in a big shopping mall. So you just think of the bad things that have happened in shopping malls and movie theaters lately, and you think, oh my God, something really bad is happening right now. So then we find ourselves out on the sidewalk, right, Sheila, with our fellow moviegoers.
Right, and it's blazing hot sunshine just beating down on us.
Oh, yeah, we went to a 1 p.m. movie.
and you just want to be back inside. So Liz and I said, let's wait in the shade. I didn't have any – I knew it was a false alarm. I can't explain how I knew that, but I knew it was. People –
Your sixth sense, Sheila, that's how.
Maybe because you've done so many fire drills.
Yes, Julie. And, you know, it was a false alarm. So we go back up to the movie theater, and Liz is adamant, I am too. If that movie doesn't start again, we are going to be so mad. You know, they canceled the movie in some way. So we got, and the great thing about movies in L.A., as you can say the ushers are great, but you have assigned seating, so you know you're going to get your seat. It's not as though, I mean, I said to Liz, I joked, New Yorkers, if this went off, they'd all be staying in their seats because they knew that if you had to leave the theater and come back, you'd never get your seat again. There's no assigned seating in New York. So we went back, we sat down in our seat.
Row H, waiting for us. Yep, we were there.
And there was sort of a, people were just sort of breaking down. I mean, people, you know, we were waiting for the film to start. Then all of a sudden the picture came up and it was on a pause section where exactly where we had paused when the alarm went off. And then they started jumping all around. They started jumping to the front of the beginning of the movie, the end of the movie, and people were just screaming at the screen.
Yes.
People were yelling.
Yeah, so, and this is, again, in a movie where, the beginning of it, it has to set up all the building blocks of the story.
Right.
And now you're getting them in totally scrambled order. You're getting spoilers. All of a sudden, you're halfway into the movie, and you're seeing a scene. And because everyone's read the book, they know they're not supposed to be seeing that yet. So this scene, halfway into the book, comes up. Everyone in the theater starts screaming, stop, stop, turn it off.
And then there's a gentleman in row G who decided to make a lot of inappropriate jokes about emergency situations, and he thought he was hilarious. So he started riffing, and he thought he was on stage at some point.
Yeah.
And
the movies playing?
No, this was right before they started again, Leanne.
Okay.
Yeah.
He out of the blue said, I feel like the people that went back up into the tower when they were told to.
Oh.
Can you imagine saying that out loud in a crowded movie theater?
Oh.
Okay, so did you speak to him, Liz, or did you, Sheila?
I gasped. And then the gentleman next to me said, oh, my. He was outraged. And I gave him a lot of dirty looks.
But and the ladies next to me also outraged. It created a huge amount of solidarity, Julie, in row H. All of a sudden, row H hated row G.
We hated them.
The line was drawn between G and H because this guy was not shutting up. And we were very, very loudly disapproving to each other. And then Sheila at one point even held her water bottle over his head. He did not realize this was But she was about, if you said one more thing,
she
was going to dump her Dasani right on his head.
Yeah, the $4 Dasani. So the movie finally starts again, and we're okay, but there's always this impending sense of doom. And, of course, that's what the movie's like.
Yes.
And the whole afternoon was just very dramatic.
Now, did someone with a burgundy shirt, did they come back in and calm you down and say it was a false alarm and not to worry? Or were you there just, did you just have to sort this out by yourself?
No, we finally sorted it out. We got into the story. And of course, I mean, you sisters have seen it. There's a very interesting shower scene with Ben Affleck. Am I right, sisters?
Yeah.
I mean, can we just comment on that?
Yes, Sheila. What did you think of that shower?
Well, we don't want to give anything away for people who haven't read the book. It's an unusual shower scene in one way. But I've never seen Ben Affleck strip for the camera. I mean, never seen that side of him, that backside. So that was,
I would say my total review of this movie is this. I would like to issue an apology to Ben Affleck for all of the terrible things I've said about him over the years. Now he has proven that not only is he a really excellent director, Argo was one of my favorite movies of last year, but he is excellent in this movie, and he's obviously getting into Batman shape for his next movie. So good for you, Ben Affleck. You have totally pulled it out.
Now, do you two feel like you need to see the movie again, given the circumstances of your afternoon viewing?
I would say I would like to see it again from start to finish. Yes, I would. And I just want to give props to Rosamund Pike. I mean, she's English. I don't know if you guys know that, but she won that role, and good for her. I love her. She was absolutely perfect.
Liz, summer is coming up, and you know what that means? It means you're grilling. You're grilling and
for
chilling
sure.
there
yes.
with your butcher box. What do you got going on the grill this summer?
Well, you know, here's the thing. Because I'm going to be up in Bend for a part of the summer, I'm having my box sent there, Leanne.
That's great.
Go on vacation with your butcher box is what I'm recommending. Yeah, either way, you're just going to buy meat and fish and stuff when you get there. Why do that? Anyway, I love their steaks. I love their scallops. The scallops are really good. And the chicken thighs, all good. I'm ready.
That's right. Butcher Box gives you peace of mind and easy to find high quality meat and seafood you can trust. It's 100% grass-fed beef, free-range organic chicken, pork that's raised crate-free and wild-caught seafood, no antibiotics or added hormones, and as Liz said, delivered right to your doorstep. And you can customize that delivery plan, Liz, right? Because it can go wherever you want it to go, whenever you want it to go. If you want to delay it a week, you know, speed it up a week, you just go to your ButcherBox account and you can make that all happen.
It's so easy to manage online.
Yeah. And if you're like Liz, you can take your ButcherBox on vacation, which is... That's nice. That's nice. Nice to have something familiar there.
Yes.
So if you want to take your meat on vacation, sign up at butcherbox.com/sisters and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional 20% off. So you can choose salmon, chicken breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/sisters and use code SISTERS to choose your free for a year offer, plus get $20 off your first order. Thanks, ButcherBox. Hey, it's Liz and Leanne here, and we want to thank PROS for supporting this episode of Satellite Sisters. Now, you know, Liz, I've been out and about with my new book, The Marriage Sabbatical. The book is getting rave reviews. I'm very happy. But you know what else is getting rave reviews? My hair, Liz, my hair from PROS is getting rave reviews.
Leanne, I am not surprised. You have been on that PROS hair regimen for quite a while. I mean, you have good hair anyway, but now you have great hair because you've really paid attention to it.
Well, Liz, PROS is made for people, not hair and skin types. Personalization is rooted in everything they do, from their in-depth consultation to their made-to-order model. And you know what? I love the regimen they have me on. Do I take the hair vitamins every day? Yes, I do. Do I use my shampoo and conditioner made especially for Leanne Dolan? Yes, I do. I sometimes use the leave-in conditioner when my hair's really dry? I do. And I even have a pre-scalp thing that they give me. Okay, PROS, you're the boss. I'll take it. You tell me what my hair needs. That sounds good. And here's the thing. It's personalization, Liz. For millions of possible formulas, only one is uniquely Leanne's. Okay? And I'm using it. PROS isn't just better for you. It's also better for the planet, Liz. They're a certified B Corp, cruelty-free, and the first and only carbon-neutral custom beauty brand. So PROS, we love you. I love the photos of my hair. Couldn't be happier.
Photos of your hair. There are people in the photos, too. That's the thing about a book tour. Everybody has their picture taken with Leanne and then post it. So the hair is important.
Couldn't be happier, PROS. PROS is so confident that you'll bring out your best hair and skin. They're offering an exclusive trial offer of 50% off your first subscription order at pros.com/sisters. So you get your free consultation, then 50% off at pros.com/sisters. And PROS is spelled P-R-O-S-E, pros.com/sisters. Thanks, PROS.
So, Julie, you had none of the drama in the theater. What did you actually think of the movie?
I think it's a good movie. I think I would strongly recommend it. It's a little different than the book, but not that. It has the same spirit as the book, which is a pretty dark spirit. And I enjoyed the movie. And I think people who have not read the book will enjoy it. And for me, one of my big screens is this a kind of movie that I could talk my husband into going to see? And the answer is yes to that too. Mm-hmm. So he has not read the book, but I think the suspense of the movie, and sort of how all the clues are played out is really well done very well acted.
Yeah, I had forgotten what a fascinating story that book is.
Yeah.
You know, there are so many surprises, so many twists, so many unexpected things. And it does have a very dark spirit driving it the whole way. So you expect it to resolve in a certain way that doesn't. And anyway, I thought it was a very, very good movie. And once again, I mean, David Fincher just has the ability to keep you on the edge of your seat. So I would recommend it too. But I fear that it's already getting overhyped.
You know? I agree with you, Liz. I mean, I know people are like, oh, you know, this is the best movie of all time. No, it's a very good movie and you should be happy with it.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Well, we're happy because we got a free voucher to go back, didn't we, Liz?
Yeah, we did. At the end, the Burgundy Shirts were handing us free vouchers for our next movie and reassuring us that the gate would be up so we didn't have to pay for parking. So there you go. That's what a Burgundy Shirt can do for you.
And that's what LA is all about, free parking or not. I mean, that's what it boils down to.
It's true. That can really sway your opinion of any event.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's exactly.
Really accessible free parking. It was fantastic. All right. Well, I finally got a chance at Friday. I have been threatening, I think, like for a year and a half on the program to either listen to The Fault in Our Stars or read The Fault in Our Stars or see The Fault in Our Stars. I've been trying to get my, you know, teen son interested because it is supposed to be the book of his generation, and I didn't want him to miss out, but he has no interest in it. So finally, Friday night, I'm basically home alone. And I think, I'm just going to rent that darn movie. It's just, it's now on my DirecTV. Here's what I can tell you. The movie is 2 hours and 6 minutes long. I cried for 2 hours and 3 minutes. I cried all the way through it. I don't even know if it's a good movie or a bad movie. I know it's just a tearjerker. I just started crying and then kept crying and then sobbed a little and cried some more, then sobbed and sobbed.
And it's good to see it in the privacy of your own home.
It was perfect. I was drained. I was dehydrated after the movie. Like, to hydrate with some white wine. I was like, my God. So that's my review. You just cry a lot.
Okay.
Well done.
Okay.
Well
then
done.
I am. That's playing on a lot of airplanes now. No way I'm watching that on an airplane then.
No. But that's Shailene Woodley. She is a good little actress. She was good in The Descendants, and she's good in everything. She's a good actress. So she sort of saves the whole thing. She's very, she's just a good actress. So there you have it. Total.
So it's sort of a Home Alone movie.
Yes. Take your mascara off and sit on the
and get into your new cozy clothes.
Yeah. Oh yeah, no zippers. You're not going to need any zippers, buttons for this movie.
Okay. Hey sisters, you know, this week, the week coming up, this is when they announce the Nobel Prize winners. You know, they announce.
I did not know that.
Yeah, well, Liz, we got to get ready because, okay, first question to you all. Do you think the Satellite Sisters would ever have a shot at winning?
No.
No. And why do you say that, Leon? Do you know why?
There's so many reasons, but we're not really up for any category. We haven't done any groundbreaking or historic work in physics or
genetics.
Yeah, or the peace process or literature.
Okay. Well, here's the problem that actually we could not win because they can, although they can split the award among multiple winners, there can be no more than 3 winners at any time.
Oh,
any one award. You didn't know that. So,
nice.
So with 5 Satellite Sisters, we're automatically out. But it does make you think if you're on some high-powered research team, you might want to get off that team because you are never going to win a Nobel. You're never going to win a prize, Nobel Prize in science. Think about that, because if you're part of a team effort, if the team is any bigger than 3, you're never going to win. And then the other fact, the big fact that we have going against us, sisters, is that 94% of all winners are men.
Yeah.
That's kind of a bummer. So,
well, that's why if they really wanted to repair their image, naming 5 women at once in one category would really help.
Liz, actually, I was thinking you are our only shot.
Okay. In what category would you see me being a shot?
Well, this is another interesting fact about the Nobel Prizes, Liz, is that you could be nominated in multiple categories, and it is possible to win in multiple categories. Marie Curie did it. She won for both physics and chemistry, okay?
Our hero growing up.
She was it. She was all we had, right?
Right.
I'm not sure even of the 5 of us, Julie, that I have the most in common with Marie Curie.
Okay.
I want to put in a vote for Monica. She can put in an IV at least. I mean, that's
true. Yes.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Uh-huh. Yeah. That might be possible. But I was just thinking we might want to try to nominate you in multiple categories and just see if something stuck. You know, that's.
Well, the nomination process is so bogus. I was reminded of that yesterday when they were talking about the current nominees for the Peace Prize. Includes your close personal friend, Vladimir Putin, Julie.
Oh,
did you know that? Yes.
Well,
a nominee this year for the Peace Prize.
All right. Isn't that he's really trying to bring people together with that peace process he has going on in the Ukraine.
Yeah.
But actually, Liz, that's what I thought
That's what I thought would be your line into this. And here's the reason why. Because maybe you've always figured this out, sisters, but I never did. I mean, I was like, why is it that the Nobel Prize, you know, you have the King of Sweden giving the awards and telling everyone about it, but they actually have this ceremony in Oslo, Norway. I was always confused about that. Were you confused about that, or did you
never realize that?
Well, because I had a Nobel Prize winner in my book, Elizabeth the First Wife,
yes.
her father's a Nobel Prize winner, I did a lot of research into the Nobel Prizes. So it's really only the Peace Prize that's given out in Oslo.
Right, I know, but yeah. It's always confusing. And the reason why is that Alfred Nobel, who was the founder of the he wished that there was going to be a union between Sweden and Norway. He wanted them to be one country. So, Liz, I think your only shot at a Nobel Prize is to broker a peace union, a union between Sweden and Norway.
Nice,
If you can bring these countries together, you can win the Nobel Prize.
Well, Julie, I got to say, I think you are much more qualified to do that than I am.
Yeah.
You're our foreign correspondent. You are the international news roundup sister. I think you have the international insight, the geopolitical background to actually make a contribution here. So I say go for it, sister.
Okay.
We'll back you up. We'll nominate you next year if you work on it in the coming year.
Okay, I just got to learn a little Swedish and a little Norwegian. I think that might help.
They're the same. They're totally the same.
And you can do that by watching the original version of The Killing. It's plenty of that on Netflix.
Just keep washing your hands until that time so you don't get sick. We need you, Julie. We need you to go. Well, it's good to be on with the sisters. You know, I'm feeling, again, very nostalgic today. You know, and this week I was reminded of one of my other, I guess, would you say famous stories on Satellite Sisters when I was stopped by a one officer rubbish. Yeah. I don't know if you remember.
I would call that a fan fave. Sheila's encounter with Officer Rubbish is our most requested classic show.
Well, it just so happens that the other day, Leanne, when I was coming from the pool, and one of the reasons I do shroud myself is because most of the time I'm swimming at 5:30 in the morning before work. And that's just a time when you want to be shrouded in darkness because it's dark out and you're doing something which is really unnatural, which is swimming at that hour, right? Yeah. So, but I do it because I have to. I have to do it. Or I just, what I've done is basically I've decided I want a cushion between waking up and getting to work. I need to place something in the middle of those two activities. Because otherwise,
that's ambitious. My hat's off.
Otherwise,
my cap's off.
And when I come from swimming, I'm feeling good. So the other morning, I'm coming from swimming. I have the new Ryan Adams CD turned up on high, and I'm feeling good. I stopped at Starbucks. I have my triple latte. And I'm coming down on South Fair Oaks. Leanne, you know it well.
Yeah.
And it's a great place to kind of open up, right? Because there's nothing around that. The lower Fair Oaks, there are no businesses. There's nothing happening, especially at 6:30 in the morning. And the only thing in that area is your yoga place.
Right.
And, of course, the new Urban Sweat Lodge, right?
Yes.
So who would think there would be a speed trap outside the Urban Sweat Lodge?
Oh. At 6:30?
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, if you were going to go to the Urban Sweat Lodge, you are not the type of person who gets up before noon, right? I mean, no one's going to be racing to the Urban Sweat Lodge, right?
Probably true.
So I was doing about 50 in a 35-mile zone, and I got stopped.
Sheila.
6:30 in the morning. I just turned everything over to him. There were no laughs. There was no fun. I tried to, you know, make some chit-chat. How much do you think it will be? He said, you know, it's on the back of your ticket. You can go to traffic school. But I did not let that ruin my day. I did not let that ruin my swimmer's high, as they say.
That's good.
Yeah. So I put it in my glove compartment, and I'll pay it when I pay it. But I know.
I wouldn't be that cavalier, because then the price really goes up.
Yeah.
So, okay.
It starts doubling and doubling again very quickly.
Okay, all I want to say is I'm aware that's a 35-mile zone now, okay? Thank you very much.
I mean, lesson learned, I think.
Yes, lesson learned.
I'm trying to think of the last time I was pulled over for something like that. It's been a while.
Yes, I never get busted for
speeding. It kind of freaks you out. Yeah, I've gotten one speeding ticket once, and you get so panicked. Like, what? Oh, my God, there must be an emergency. What's happening? Oh, it's me. I'm speeding. I'm the emergency.
It's a high crime area over there by the Urban Sweat Lodge. Maybe he was working on some other case.
I think maybe they're just trying to drive out the Urban Sweat Lodge clientele. You know, if they target that neighborhood just relentlessly enough over the next month or two, people will just stop going to the Urban Sweat Lodge and it will close up and go away.
Like every other business in that area.
Word's out. There's a speed trap there. Nobody wants to open a business there. Okay, well, glad you know the new speed limit, Jill.
Thank you.
Yeah, let's rally the Satellite Sisterhood behind this one. You know, I always feel bad when somebody who is like a female athlete gets voted off Dancing with the Stars really fast. Like when Diana Nyad, like lost in the first week of Dancing with the Stars.
I know, and then this year, Lolo Jones.
Yes, yeah. It's like we have a voting block that should be supporting some of these women, right? We are not activating our voting block frequently enough. So I think this is a really good cause to activate our voting block a little bit. It's not going to take much for this show to create some buzz. So go for it, sisters. That's my that's my request for
this week.
This
is good because we're on hiatus from Outlander.
Right.
So,
that's true.
So it's not quite the same as Claire and Jamie, but it could fill in for a while. Yeah.
Do you guys have some new show that you think is on the horizon that you can get on board with?
Well, we have Downton Abbey coming back in January.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah,
it's really just a short break while we rewatch the wedding episode 21 con. Right, Jill?
Right, Leanne.
Okay, well, there you have it for this week. Anybody doing anything interesting this week? Julie, stay clean.
I will. I'm going to wash my hands a lot. Yep.
Sheila, stay safe.
I'm staying slow.
Under 35.
Yeah, under 35 and underwater. Those are my goals.
Liz, aren't you going somewhere?
I am. I'm going to be away. I'm actually going to be away for the next 10 days. There's a big television convention every year that is in France. So I am headed there. So next Sunday, sisters, I will not be able to participate. I will be away next Sunday. But, you know, I know you can carry on without me. And then the Tuesday show. Anything up your sleeve already for the Tuesday show, Leanne or Julie?
Well, I went to a really interesting reading this weekend. Annabelle Gurwitch, who we interviewed a couple weeks ago about her book, I See You Made an Effort. She's so funny. She actually invited me to be sort of on her panel of critics. She's taking that book, I See You Made an Effort, and turning it into a one-woman stage show.
Oh,
and so she
wow.
did a reading like in her house the other day. I was there and then invited us to critique, which is so brave. So I'm going to talk about that on Tuesday. It was a cool experience.
Oh, I will enjoy listening to that from wherever I am on the planet. All right. Well, everybody have a good week. Remember, you can be part of the Satellite Sisterhood on our Facebook group, Satellite Sisters. Anyone's invited. You can follow us on Twitter at Sat Sisters. I am at SS Liz. Leanne, you are at Leanne Dolan.
Mm-hmm.
Julie, are you at anywhere? Are you at anything?
I can't remember my password. So I'm out of luck.
I'm not at.
Sheila, last week there was a post on the in the Facebook group for Satellite Sisters, like, why doesn't Sheila ever come to Facebook? And you know,
I that's a long story, but
no time for that.
Yeah.
It's totally voluntary. That's my attitude. There's no law. There's no requirement. You do what you can. We're just happy to have you here when you can make time. All right. Well, we are the Satellite Sisters. Don't forget, call your Satellite Sister.
talking to the world you make. You lose yourself, but you find your way. I'm gonna watch your radio, 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 radio. We turn so slow, I know it's hard to wait. But take your time, son, it's yours to take. I'm gonna watch your radio, radio. Radio, oh, oh, radio. These rocks, they hold heat. Pools of water cool your feet. As you walk, you believe every part of the dream.